Good to see everybody out today, man. That sunshine brought you guys out, didn't it, right? Made you feel a little bit better. Hey, let me just share a couple things with you just before I jump into this message. First off, today I'm going to be talking to you about some God intentions instead of good intentions for the new year. And then next week we're going to be talking about, we're going to start a new sermon series, a two-week message series called In His House, okay? In His House. In His House in 2014, we're going to recap it, and we're going to look at everything that God did in 2014. And it's pretty important for us to check all that out, some amazing stuff, and I want you to be here, especially the next 2 weeks, okay? The second week in the In His House series, we're going to talk about our newly aligned values as a church and where we are going in 2015. Okay, so I want you to be here for that. It is of utmost importance. And then after that, we're kicking off a brand new message series, a five-week message series called Boundaries. And we're going to talk about physical boundaries. We're going to talk about emotional, mental boundaries. We're going to talk about psychological boundaries. We're going to talk about boundaries that you have with your time, scheduling boundaries. We're going to talk about all of that. So all these little New Year's resolutions that you guys are making right now, let's kind of pace yourself over the next 4 or 5 weeks as you listen to these practical in your life messages. And just let those resolutions kind of fall alongside what we're going to be talking about over the next 6 weeks, okay? So I'm excited about that. But today, I want to ask you a question, okay? I want to ask you a question. What is that one thing? What's the one thing in your life that you need done in 2015? Before I jump into it, I got to ask you guys this question. How many of you, if you were going to be honest today, how many of you would say, you know what, PC, I am actually glad that 2014 is over with, right? I mean, just be honest. Some of you, it was a rough year. How many of y'all would say, I'm glad 2014 is over, right? I mean, it was a tough year for many of you, and I'm looking across this congregation, and I'm thinking about events that took place and the hardships and the times that I was there by your side when you were grieving and things of that nature. I mean, 2014 was a pretty tough year for several of you in this place today, and I realize that. But how many of you have already made resolutions for 2015? Go ahead and be honest. I mean, be honest. Come on. I know there's more than three or four of you made New Year's resolutions, right? 2015, you made some new. How many of you are going to make some New Year's resolutions? Raise your hand. Okay, let me help you guys out just a little bit right now. There are some of you in here that need to make some resolutions for 2015, all right? I'm just being honest with you, all right? I mean, some of you need to push away from the table a little bit, you know? I mean, some of you need to quit yapping so much. Some of you need to get off Facebook and get your face more in the book, talking about the Bible. Can I help you out a little bit here, right? I mean, some of you need to make some resolutions. But let me just say this to you today. Some of you that have already made resolutions, can I tell you something? 40% of you will not make it by the end of January. 40% of you. You know how many of you will make it by Valentine's Day? They say that statistics say 75% of people who make New Year's resolutions won't even be on the radar come Valentine's Day. Right? I mean, it'll be gone. You know why? Because several of you guys make good intentions a priority instead of what I call God intentions, right? I mean, we don't need good intentions. We need God intentions in our life. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, and I want you to listen to this, because when God births something in you, then it's real. It's tangible. It will last. When God does something in your life, instead of yourself coming up with these good intentions, it will come about. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, God said, "Forget the former things." Forget them. Get rid of them. Don't dwell on it. Don't think about it. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. He says, see, I am doing a new thing. The other day, I'm just going to be straight with you. The other day, we were right up here above the restrooms. There's a big office area up there and a conference room. And we were up there with our pastoral staff. And we were talking about all these things that we need to do in 2015. How we need to sharpen this area of ministry. And how we need to increase things in this area of ministry. And all this other stuff. And I'm here to tell you right now that my mind was swirling, my head. I felt like it was going to fall off. We were thinking about all these different things. And they're good things. And they're things that need to be done. But it was almost like we were talking about so many things that we couldn't really focus on one thing and do it really well. See, that's the problem with a lot of us in our lives. We focus on a lot of different things. Many of you guys, y'all don't just make one resolution. You make 5 or 10 New Year's resolutions. But today, what I want you to do is I want you to focus on that one thing. And I'm going to give you 4 different areas of your life where you can focus on one thing, right? One thing only. I don't want you to focus on 5 things or 10 things or 20 things. I want you to focus on one thing. Number one, write this down. What is that one thing that you desire in 2015? What is that one thing that you desire from God? Psalms chapter 27, verse 4, David said, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." I mean, David's saying, if there's one thing that I could ask for, it's to be with you, God. If there's one thing that I need, David says, I want to be in your presence. I need your goodness. I need to know that you are always with me. He's saying, if there's one thing I need in good times, it's God. He's saying, if there's one thing I need in bad times, it's God. If there's one thing that I desire above anything else in my life, he says, it is to dwell in the presence of God Almighty. Let me ask you something today, just getting practical with you. What is that one thing that you desire in 2015 from God? Do some of you have maybe a lost relative or a friend who you know if they died today, they wouldn't go to be with Jesus in heaven, and you know that they need Christ in their life, and you know that maybe God's laid it on your heart to do something about it? Is it that? Is that your one thing this year that you need to focus on, is to help win that person to Jesus? Quite honestly, there's some of you here today who are focusing too much on that stronghold that I mentioned last week, or some type of addiction that you need to be free from. Is that what you need to let go of today? Is that one thing in your life that's keeping you from fully pursuing God along the way? Some of you, you're going to look at your marriage and go say, "You know what, Pastor Chad, it's not where God wants it to be." I mean, are you going to focus on your marriage and you're going to say, "God, this one thing I desire from you, that would you please bring healing into my marriage, into our relationship, and help it to be what it's supposed to be?" Hey, some of you, if just be truthful, some of you, maybe you need to slow down. Maybe you need to slow down. Maybe for too long you've been saying, "You know what, one day I'm going to slow down. I'm going to take time out for the things that really matter in my life. There are some things that I'm missing out on that I need to be focusing on, and it's that one thing. God, I need you to help me to enjoy you and those around me." What is that one thing that you would have God to do in your life? What is that one thing you need from God? What is that one thing that you desire for God to do in your life? Hey, I want you to write it down right now. I mean, I'm serious. I don't want you to just hear me preaching up here today. I want you to make this practical. Take out the pen and that communication card that's in the back seat and the back of the seat in front of you, and write down, what is that one thing? See, the problem is that too many of us, we don't want to take, I don't see a lot of pieces of paper coming out right now. I mean, I really don't. I don't see a lot of pens coming out. I'm not moving on until you do it. Okay? Listen, I'm telling you, the problem is, the reason that many of us don't want to reach for that card and that pen is because we want to wander aimlessly through life, just hoping we fall into something, just hoping God does something for us. No, listen to me today. What are you intentional about God doing in your life? life, because the Word of God says that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's when you keep on knocking. It's when you keep on seeking. It's when you stay focused on that one thing that God wants to do in your life. What is it? What is it? Are y'all with me today? Number two, write this down. What's that one thing that you lack? What is that one thing that's missing in your life? In Mark chapter 10, a very interesting story about a rich guy who encountered Jesus. He said, Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you need to obey the commands. And the guy proudly was like, check, 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 check. He checked all of those commands off. And he says, hey, I've done all of this stuff that your commands say, that the Word says. And the Bible says that Jesus looked through all of that, of his outward obedience, and looked into his heart, and he saw a problem with this guy that he didn't even know he had. Check this out. He said, one thing you lack. That's what Jesus said. One thing you lack. He said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And he says, then come follow me. You know what the next verse says? The next verse says, in verse 22, the Word of God says, at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. You know what happened right there? God specifically showed him the one thing that he lacked in his life, and he was unwilling to do that one thing that would have benefited him spiritually in his life. I mean, that's what happened right there. And you say, well, big deal. What's that mean for me, Chad? There are many of you over a period of years that God has showed you that one thing that you need to do, that one thing that is lacking, and yet so many of you have yet to be obedient in your life. And I wonder one day if you'll walk away sad because you were not obedient to the things that God asked you to do, that one thing that was lacking in your life. You say, oh, give me some examples. Oh, I'm glad you asked me to do that today, because I'm telling you right now that some of you, we've been begging, we've been pleading, almost like we're getting on our knees saying, would you please get involved in a life group? Would you take the initiative in your life to do life with other believers, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to help each other out? And it's like pulling teeth sometimes. And it's one thing that you lack in your life. And if there's one thing that I could beg you as a pastor of this church to do, it would be to grow smaller as we grow larger, because you're going to need some other people to bounce things off of, to help each other with through the hard times and through the good times, to be able to do life with one another. And it's one thing that's lacking in your life. Many of you, you've been wrestling with the whole tithe issue. Can I tell you right now that some of you got this whipped in 2014? You know, for the first 10 years of this ministry, we hobbled along because we just, I mean, people would not be faithful in this area. They didn't realize the blessings of God that were withheld from your life when you're not faithful in this area. Do you know in 2000, I was going to share this next week, but I'm going to share it with you this week. Do you know in 2014 that His House Ministries, specifically focusing on the second part of the year, because the first part of the year wasn't all that great? You know why? Because people focus on Christmas presents, and you max out your credit cards, and then the bills come due in January. Then you spend all the rest of the spring and the winter trying to figure out how you're going to pay Christmas off, right? Instead of being faithful to God. Well, here's the deal. Do you know that in the second half of 2014, you guys just figured out the tithe issue, and it was like crazy awesome what God's... Do you know that in 2014 that His House Ministries gave $150,000 more in 2014 than they did in 2013, being faithful to God, loving God? I mean, I think that deserves a hand clap of praise, because you know what that does? It allows us to go and do more ministry. I mean, but some of you, you're still holding on. You don't realize that you can give God your first and bless so He can bless the rest. And you fought it, and you fought it. And perhaps that's the one thing you lack in your life. That's the one point where God's saying, do you really believe it or do you not believe it? Are you going to trust me or are you not going to trust me? Maybe some of you, you know, you need somebody to hold you accountable. Maybe some of you, you say, well, I don't think I do. I can tell you some of you do, because I can see your social media posts. You come to church one week and you're praising Jesus, and then next week you're living like hell and you're posting pictures so the whole world can see. I mean, it's just crazy. And it's like, did you get it or did you not get it? I mean, we baptized 110 people in 2014. And you think, where are these people? What's going on in their lives? Some of them I see a life change. And you know, that change is not really up to us. You know, people want to blame the church for all kinds of things. They want to blame the church for the kids growing up to be reprobates and things of that nature. Well, Dustin might not have done a good job in the youth ministry, or Pastor Chad didn't preach what he was supposed to preach, or Pastor Tony didn't disciple us like he was supposed to. Let me just say something to you today in loving fashion, okay? Listen, if your kid grows up to be a hellraiser, you know who the number one responsible person for that is? You. You are, because you're supposed to train your child up. Don't make me go old school on you today, all right? No, don't make me do that. I mean, it's true. You say, why are you preaching on stuff like that? Because I hear all that junk all the time. And it's not just with us, it's with other churches. And they want to blame, well, if they just had a better youth department, if they had a better children's ministry, if they had a better discipleship program, then they went, no. Honey, if you would have a better Bible-based home in your family and you would start teaching and preaching the Word of God and living it out instead of coming to church with your cute tie on and your little fluffy dress and all that other stuff, and then go home the same way you were when you come in, and people don't see that being real, if they really saw a difference going on, then things would be different in their lives. Amen. All right, I need to move on. I didn't even have that in my notes. Amen. All right, here we go. Some of you, you've been looking for somebody special. You don't have to be lonely. Is that not stuck in your head like it is mine? Like Kylie even sings that song. What's it say, city folks just don't understand? Just don't get it? Why, Lord, no. I mean, it's like Dustin's always kidding around here at church. It's like that one last commercial that they've got out. It's like these two guys, this one guy's going off on a date because he met somebody on Farmers Only. And then these two other guys who, man, they need all the help they can get, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can see one of them coming up and their pickup line's like, you got a pretty mouth, you know. You know what I mean? Golly. Farmers Only. I mean, if you're getting a date, you better make sure you're a Farmer Only. I mean, it's just like, what in the world? I mean, where's this stuff? I mean, you've got eHarmony. You've got all this other stuff. You know, listen, I told you last week about the Dateline show that I watched. The girl that was so deceived in all of that, that poor lady, she met somebody on Christian Mingle. I think this website it was on. I mean, listen, what instead of like getting on all these dating sites and surfing the web, and you know, hey, listen, you know the picture that they're posting on there is not the individual that you're talking to. I mean, look, I could be behind the computer and say, yeah, I've been lifting weights and I'm all buff, and I could tell you that I've got a Puerto Rican tan, right? I mean, I could tell you all that stuff, and you wouldn't know the difference. Hey, you bald-headed guys, don't be laughing. You'd be telling people you got a head full of hair and stuff like that. I mean, listen, it's crazy. And instead of you say, well, I've got good intentions, no, don't have good intentions, have God intentions. And ask God, you bring me somebody in my life. Hey, ladies, if he could provide manna to the children of Israel, don't you think he could provide you a little manna along the way as well? I mean, ask him to do only what he can do. Maybe you've been looking for somebody special. Listen, when it comes to your relationship with God, let me ask you this. What is that one thing that you need to move forward with God? What do you desire? What is that one thing that you would ask God to do in your life? Number three, write this down. What's that one thing that you need to let go of? What is it that you continue to grasp into your life, that you've got a grip on, that holds you back from where God wants you to be? The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He said, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. He says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What was he letting go of? I mean, what's he talking about? I mean, we don't necessarily know what he was letting go of. Maybe he was letting go of the fact that he was the one who asked Stephen to be stoned, the first Christian martyr. Maybe it was the fact that this guy's the one that persecuted the church. Maybe he was letting go of that. Maybe it was the fact that he experienced suffering for Christ. I mean, this is the guy who was whipped 5 times, each time receiving 40 lashes across the back. Maybe he was saying, God, I need to let go of that. He was the guy who was beaten 3 times with rods. Maybe he was asking God to let go of that. Listen, this is the guy who was shipwrecked 3 times. He was the guy who was also stoned. Now, I'm not talking about recreationally stoned. I'm talking about actually physical stones being hurled at this guy, right? I mean, maybe he was asking God to help him let go of all of that so he can move forward. We don't know. But what I do know is there are some of you today, and the reason you're not moving forward with God is because you're holding on to something from the past. And it's time to let go. I mean, it's time to let go. Somebody hurt you, and baby, you're holding on to it, man. You've got bitterness inside of you. You've got unforgiveness inside of you, and you won't let that go. Why? I don't know. Maybe you enjoy it. I mean, I don't really know why you don't let it go. I watched a movie last night that messed me up. Leanne and I had a little date night type deal, and so we went to Paducah, to Cinemark, and we watched that movie Unbroken. How many of y'all seen that movie? Right? I mean, if that doesn't rock your world before you get out of the movie theater, then something is wrong with you. I mean, this guy, I mean, he went through all kinds of beatings and things of that nature, and I don't want to spoil it for those of you that did not go see it yet or haven't seen it yet, but Louis Zamperini, I think is how you say his name. I mean, it's a true story, and this guy was beaten mercilessly. I mean, you see this stuff in the trailer of the movie, so I'm not telling anything you don't know, unless you know, I don't want to spoil the movie. Let me just say that. I mean, it's just crazy. This guy endured all this beating and all this other stuff. And one thing I'm going to say that may spoil the movie, so close your ears if you don't want to hear it. All right? But this guy ends up, according to the end of the movie, when they're rolling the credits, right before they roll the credits, they said this guy goes back to the people who beat him mercilessly, and he tried to make all of that right and say, you're forgiven. Went back to these Japanese people that were cruel to him and just asked them to forgive him and for him to forgive them. And you know what it was based on? It was based on the Christianity that he had in his life. The movie doesn't really bring that out. Somebody told me more so the book does of the true story that he leaned upon his Christianity to do that. Can I tell you something right now? The only way that was possible for old Louis to be able to do that was God. That's it. And see, some of you guys are saying, oh, I can never move on from this hurt. I can never move on from this unforgiveness or this bitterness in my life. Guess what? You're right. You can't, but God can. And if you have some God intentions in your life instead of good intentions, then you can say, God, I can't do this, but I know you can. So help me. Help me move on. What is it? What is it that you need to let go of in your life? Some of you failed at something. You're holding on to that. And you're wrongly believing that you're a failure because you messed up. What is that one thing that you need to let go of so you can become everything God wants you to become? Last but not least, what's that one promise that you need to claim? What is that one promise? In the Old Testament, David, young man David, was anointed by Samuel to be the next king over Israel. Samuel comes up, as you know the story, comes up to Jesse's sons, and he's looking at him, and he's like, handsome, but no. Strong, but no. Very wise, but no. And finally, he says, is there anybody else around here? And Jesse says, well, I got one son, but he's out taking care of the sheep. I mean, listen, you don't really want him. He's the run of the bunch. And finally, they found David. David comes up or whatever, and Samuel's like, that's him, because God said, I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart, right? He's like, I want this boy right here. He is my next king. And the Bible tells us as soon as he was anointed to be next king over Israel, it seemed like every time that he would take one step forward, that he would take 2 steps backwards. You know? I mean, it's just the way to have. Every time he'd have a victory, there'd be a Saul coming after him, trying to run him down, destroy him, and he'd move forward and he'd move back. Psalms chapter 56, verse 9 says this. David says this. This one thing I know. Some of you need to write this down. Some of you need to tattoo this on your forehead, right? This one thing. Psalms 56, verse 9. This one thing I know. God is for me. This one thing I know, God is for me. He says, I'm trusting God. He says, I'm not trusting in mere man. I'm trusting what God can do for me. The thing that I know is that God is still on his throne and he is for me. Some of you, God's going to give you a promise and you're going to hang on to it and it's going to sustain you. And it's almost going to be like food that nourishes your body to keep you alive, like water that will quench your thirst, like it will carry you when you're too weak to even carry yourself. You say, what kind of promises are there, Chad? There's all kinds of promises throughout the Word of God. What one promise do you need today? You say, well, I don't know. I don't know how many promises there are. Let me just give you a few of them here today. Psalms or Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, God promises to meet every need that you have from his riches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he promises that you won't be able to be tempted beyond what you can handle. In Ephesians 1, 7, and 1 John 1, 9, he promises to forgive you of all your sins. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he promises to make everything work out for your good. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he promises to never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says in Psalms 46, 1, God promises to be your ever-present help in the time of trouble. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, he promises to give strength to the weary and power to the weak. In Psalms chapter 32, verse 8, he promises to guide you and to give you direction. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, he promises to give you a peace that would pass even your own understanding. In James chapter 4, verse 7, he promises to give you power to defeat the enemy. In Romans chapter 8, verse 39, he promises you that nothing would ever separate you from his love. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, he promises you that you are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, his son. In John chapter 10, verse 27, he promises you eternal life through Christ. Listen to me today. What is it that you need to hang on to today? What is that one promise that you need to latch on to bring into your life to help you get through whatever you're going through in your life? Listen, church, either you believe him or you don't. Either you believe him or you don't. There are more things that I don't know, but this one thing I know, that God is for me, that God is with me. Hey, listen, God is for you. God's with you. He's with you. Let me ask, what is that one thing that you desire from God? Think about this. What is that one, not five, not 10, not 15, not one. What is that one thing that you desire from God more than anything else? What is it? What is that one thing that you lack in your life that you need to be getting? What is that one thing that you need to let go of? You know what it is. What is that one thing, that one promise that you need to be claiming today? What is it? God says, forget the former things. Forget them. Do not dwell in the past. Oh, yeah, hey, listen, I know 2014 was rough for some people. It was rough for me. But don't dwell in it. Don't wallow in it. Why? Because our God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. Do you want to get in on it? That's the question. Father, we come to you.